The reading this evening is from Judges, chapter 2, verse 6, to chapter 3, verse 6. When the angel of the Lord had spoken these things to all the Israelites, the people wept aloud, and they called the place Bochim. There they offered sacrifices to the Lord. After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua, and all of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After that, the whole generation had been gathered up to their ancestors. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. In his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders who plundered them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them. Just as he had sworn to them, they were in great distress. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshipped them. They quickly turned from the ways of their ancestors, who had been obedient to the Lord's commands. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived. For the Lord relented because of their groaning under those who oppressed them and afflicted them. But when the judge died, the people returned to their ways, even more corrupt than those of their ancestors, following other gods and serving and worshipping them. They refused to give their evil practices and stubborn ways. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and said, "Because this nation has violated the covenant I ordained for their ancestors and has not listened to me, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations Joshua left when he died. I will use them to test Israel and see whether they will keep the ways of the Lord and walk in it as their ancestors did." The Lord had allowed these nations to remain. He did not drive them out at once by giving them into the hands of Joshua. These are the nations of the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had any previous battle experience. The five rulers of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites living in Lebanon, in the Lebanon mountains, from Mount Baal Hernon to Lebo Hamath. There they were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given to their ancestors through Moses. The Israelites lived among the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. They took their daughters in marriage and gave their own daughters to their sons and served their gods. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Peter. Good evening. I was just sitting there being impressed by the flower displays that people have put together for harvest. So well done to those people who did that. It's very impressive. If you're one of them, well done. I was pleased that Andrew said, when he said Old Testament hats on, I was glad you said Testament when he said, "Steve's going to speak to us, put your old hats on." No, Old Testament too, very fair. And this is a series as we walk through the Old Testament on Sunday evenings, and we've just got to the end of Joshua, which now becomes the book of Judges. So before I say anything else, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we ask that we'll continue to encounter you through worship, through your word, through your communion table, and that you will go on changing our lives. May my words be acceptable in your sight, and things that are not of you, may they fall away as we go from here tonight. For we offer you our prayers tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's actually called Endangered Species. I don't think that made it onto the news sheet, but that's what I was sent by Rob. Endangered species, comma, It's a prologue, an introduction to the Judges. And if you're, trailer, the next three Sundays we'll be looking at some significant judges in detail, and the one after that we'll look at Ruth, which is a book that comes next. Recently, if you've been here on Sunday, 2 weeks ago, we were studying the River Jordan. Those of you who were here when Corinne was talking to us about that. Did you know it's only about 7 miles away? You can go and stand in the River Jordan because it flows through Braybrook and what have you. Can I just say all the normal health and safety rules apply? I'm not responsible. In fact, I was quite lucky to be here tonight from a health and safety angle because earlier in the week I drove into what was until then an unmarked police car. Oh dear. And I also was given a cake for my birthday, which is coming up in a couple of weeks, and I tried a bit of it before I realised, or remembered, it was made by a friend of mine who can get a bit confused, and she'd covered it in temazepam. So a couple of days later, I woke up and prepared the sermon. Now, the book of Joshua is really positive. The book of Joshua has the story of the Israelites settling the promised land. The people prosper, God fulfils his covenant, they settle the promised land, and we think it's going to be okay. At the end of Joshua, so the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors. They took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. So all they had to do was finish occupying it at the point, as we heard, where Joshua died. So it's good news, isn't it? And why were they continuing to do that? They had come to obey the commands of the Torah, the law, in the first five books of the Bible, so they could show other nations what the one true God, Yahweh, was like. They were going to witness to the one true God. And that applies in the New Testament. For instance, in John's Gospel, chapter 13, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." So there's a point to all the behavior, occupying and settling the land and driving out the foreign races, to show who Yahweh, the true God, is. The name Judges might sound a bit odd. It's not the appeal court, which we would now think the word judge means today. It's really, a posh word here, shofet, the plural is shofetim. I feel like standing here and saying, can anyone name another word with a plural where you add im on the end? And you'll all say seraph and cherub, won't you? Seraphim, yeah. So it's a regional, political, possibly military, organizing leader. I've represented it by a sort of Highland chieftain there tonight. You'd be pleased to know that I'm not going to wear a kilt to do that. So don't think courtroom, think regional leader. The period of the judges lasts about 250 years. If you actually go through the book and add up the time that they were a judge for, all the people mentioned, it'll come to about 400. Because different people were judges over different sections of the whole of the land. Because the book of Judges isn't a chronology of this happened. It's not Victoria, 1837 to 1901, Edward VII, 19, and so on. I'm going to stop there before I get the dates wrong. But it is about the stories of significance. That's why they're in the scripture. If you like, it's an anthology, not a chronology. After Joshua's death, with most of the promised land settled, and Israel is disobedient, it doesn't complete Yahweh's instruction. Just in case you're wondering, Lord, you know how Lord is in those small capital letters in our Bibles? That's often the way we represent the word Yahweh. They're one and the same thing in that point. So we've got a whole region. I'm not suggesting you try to look at the detail there. I'm just trying to suggest there's the whole region of the promised land. There are different provinces. Different judges are in place over different areas of that. And if you're under 18, although they seem to have gone, but if you're under 18, warning, this book may contain depressing images and violence because the stories in Judges don't hold back. And Joshua was really good news. Judges is bad news. I decided its subtitles could be Israel's total failure, or perhaps just descent into madness. And we might say, is it relevant for us today? Well, let's have a look and ponder that. You're looking at the screen and thinking, he's not very good at PowerPoint, does he? No. You're looking at the screen and thinking, there's going to be five steps. Yes, there are. Our own situation isn't far from this, sin. I won't embarrass anyone so that we can all cheer, but put your hand up if you haven't sinned in the past year. That's a rhetorical statement. And the Israelites were sinning by not carrying out God's instructions. That happens to us, sometimes willfully, sometimes by mistake, and we don't put it right. Sometimes in what we do or what we don't do, what we say, what we should have said, and so on. We live in, use the jargon, a pluralistic society, a place with lots and lots of different ideas. And sometimes that's a great opportunity because people might be open to hear the gospel. Many times, of course, it's a real challenge because people really want to say, I only want it if it feels good for me. So, what happens then is we have an outcome of sin that isn't good. They turn away from God, they turn away from the Lord's instructions, purposes, and promises. They settle down and they attach themselves to the Canaanite peoples. They adopt their morals, their gods, plural, their gods, their religious beliefs, idolatry, immorality, their agricultural life, their social life. In short, Israel abandons God and becomes completely corrupt in the land. So the book of Judges is going to show us bad news. And it's a story that's still true today. When things start going wrong, when we as an individual or a group or a society or a nation turn away from God or ignore God, things go wrong. You imagine that is the true path, straight down there. So the sound desk, you're on the true path, straight down there. And you start going off the path. After four or five steps, you're not far off and it's quite easy to get back. If you carry on at an angle, depending on how sharp an angle away, it's very difficult to get back onto the true right path of the Lord. It needs something significant to get you back on the right path. So we've got these outcomes. They're overtaken, they're oppressed, they're conquered by their enemies, the Canaanites. The Lord removes his protection and blessings from the Israelites. That can happen to us today. We can be taken over by things of the world. We're called to be in the world, but not of the world. It's a very difficult challenge. Maybe it's just me that finds that a very difficult challenge, sometimes more than others. It made me think of the word compromise. Some compromises are good. You're sat at home, maybe with your husband or wife or son or whatever, and you want to watch one thing on the television, the other one wants to watch that. Well, the compromise is you watch one first and record the other, usually. That's probably a trivial example. But do we compromise? No, they just argue over there. They were chuckling. Sorry, I won't pick on you. But the compromise that says, I'll give up these things that I stand for and just fit in with you, in the immorality, the idolatry, the wrong behaviour, is where compromise becomes a very deceptive and bad word, I would suggest. So, in the words of Question of Sport, what happened next? Well, now we get good news. That's why it's in green, you see. Eventually, the Israelites see the error of their ways and they repent. They cry out to the Lord for deliverance. So in verses 11, 12 and 14, in tonight's reading, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They served the Baals. They forsook the Lord who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the people around them. In his anger against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders who plundered them, and so on. But eventually, when we get to verse 18, we see that the Lord has done something for them. The Lord raised up a judge for them. He was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived. For the Lord relented because of their groaning, their repentance, their crying out in agony, in pain, realizing what they were doing. So there's good consequence to that. Salvation. He was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies. So he delivered them by raising up heroes of the book. As I already said, there's three other judges in detail to come in the following Sunday evening. But the judges are empowered by the Holy Spirit They're valiant men and women who obeyed God. They were human, they made mistakes, but they demonstrated God's faithfulness and love and brought about an era of peace, which casts us forward to the fulfillment in the New Testament, the same Holy Spirit poured out on the church following the redemptive work of Jesus, empowers the people of the Lord to begin the task of preaching the gospel to all nations and advancing the kingdom of God. That's what the first 10 verses or so of the book of Acts is about. And guess what? Acts ends at chapter 28, I think. You can check that in a minute. We are, I've used this phrase before, we are Acts 29 people. We're now here in the middle of the stage, and it's our job. Love one another. By this, people will know that you are my disciples. We will show the kingdom of God to the people. So we've got bad, sin, and the outcomes, oppression and so on. We've got good, they repent, God saves them, and we get this word, shalom, which is often just translated as peace. It's also used as a greeting. In the same way that we might say goodbye, I know this isn't a greeting, but you know what I mean. Hello, shalom is used both as hello and goodbye, like ciao, I believe, in Italian. We say goodbye, which is a shortening of God be with you, God go with you, for instance. And shalom means that everything is right under heaven. It is about peace. It's about harmony. It's about wholeness, completeness, prosperity. In every sense, I don't mean we'll be wealthy by following God. Don't mishear me there. True shalom comes only from God. And it's his design. There's only one way to find true shalom, and that is in God, his word and his spirit. Other things appear seductively appealing, possessions, money, all sorts of things. But they lead us off that path. So it's all good news, and I can sit down. But no, I've got another slide, because look, they do it again. Verse 19. When the judge died, the people returned to ways even more corrupt than those of their ancestors, following other gods, serving and worshipping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were in God's position, I might think, oh, I'd better go and show them again. But eventually I'd get fed up and I'd abandon them. Does God do that? No. God remains faithful in the midst of this. He keeps raising up leaders inspired by the Holy Spirit, these judges, to rescue his people time after time. Israel get to that shalom point, as I've called it, and then they get it wrong again. It's a bit of a story of our lives even for today, isn't it? If you don't like a circle, you can have it in steps like that. So turn away from God, suffer oppression, cry out to God in repentance. God gives divine grace and mercy, wholeness, welfare, peace. All is back to what God intends. But beware that bit. That's the bit of this slide, if you like, that we've got to cut off and keep cutting off so that we don't end up like them. Of course, we also use our common sense. Let me tell you a story. Two hunters are out in the woods when one of them collapses. He doesn't seem to be breathing and his eyes are glazing over. So his friend whips out his mobile and rings the emergency services. My friend, I think he might be dead. What can I do? The operator says, calm down. I can help. First of all, you need to make sure he's really dead. So the chap puts his phone down and there's silence. Then he hears a gunshot. And he comes back on the phone and says, okay, now what do I do? Now that would be a stupid way, wouldn't it, of trying to put things right. It's a silly story, but it makes the point. God doesn't support the misbehavior. Read that if you can. Self-destruction comes from turning away from God. We're free to choose our own path. Shooting our best friend to make sure he's really dead isn't one of them. Please do not do that at home. God doesn't endorse wrong behavior and wrong practice, but God is committed to saving his people. Have you ever heard the saying, well, you get what you deserve? It's a classic teacher phrase, isn't it? Well, you didn't work for that test. You got what you deserved. Terrible grade. Huh. If you, please don't do this either at home, as well as shooting your neighbour and seeing. If you put your hand in a candle flame, it will get burnt. You don't need to keep experiencing that to realise it's true. Please don't experience it once, except it is true. You will burn your hand in that situation. Of course, with God, we get what we don't deserve. And I think that's really good news. Through Jesus, we get what we don't deserve. We say, God, I've let you and myself down so many times this week, and I'm so sorry. We did that earlier this evening. Posh word, confession. We say, I'm really struggling with sin in my life. I'm sorry, please forgive me. We repent and turn to God. And God doesn't say, well, you get what you deserve. God says, I know you have, but I still love you. I know you've got it wrong. I know you're struggling with sin, but I will be patient with you. And if you repent, I will forgive you. So we've got the love and grace and mercy of God like never before. And as we'll be commemorating later in the service, we've got peace through the blood of Jesus. God gives us what we don't deserve, which I think is good news, which is what gospel means, isn't it? It's good news. God offers grace to people who don't deserve it. He actually offers grace to people who don't seek it, if only they could respond. He offers grace to people who don't appreciate it even when they get it. But in God we are made complete. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. So as we go from here tonight and we go through our week and months to come, we continue, I suggest, to seek God, to stay on the right path, to avoid being corrupted by all those things in society that lead us astray. And when we are, because we're only human, we repent and we turn to God. In the song we sung, I think the last song we sung, we say that, Lord, we're singing, Lord, you're my strength, shield, and rock. He's all those things and more. So this week, when you think, oh, I'm going astray, you think, I'm going off the right path, I'm going to repent and go back. It's much easier to get back if you're that far off the path than if you're miles, or for the youngsters in the audience, kilometres away from the path. It's much easier to get back. So when you go from here, remember that we've all got that free choice, but the further we go away, the worse it gets. But we know that we can get from God, through Jesus, what we don't deserve. And something that will crop up, I'm sure, on the next three Sundays, I haven't spoken to the people who are talking on those, but there's a phrase that comes up several times near the end of Judges. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Kings comes later, as it happened. This is the key bit of that verse to me. All the people did what was right in their own eyes. They decided what was right, and they did what was right. They thought it was right. And as we read in the final two verses of tonight's reading, the Israelites lived among, lots of difficult names to say, people. They took their daughters in marriage and gave their own daughters to their sons and served their gods. It's just an example of making a choice in the society around you that isn't what the one true God wants. And as you'll see, in the next few weeks, continues to go wrong. A remnant hold out and repent, then they go wrong. A remnant hold out, a continual cycle that goes on. But God stays true to his character. He forgives and saves. He offers mercy even to those who don't deserve it. And that's you and me as well, here in 2019. Amen.